Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz, and in this episode, I will be talking about the Vale of Arryn, or the Vale for short. I'll be discussing some of the notable people, places, and historical events that happen in this mountainous kingdom. Before I start the discussion, there are a couple of things to note. First, there will be some potential spoilers for people who have not read the novels in the A Song of Ice and Fire saga. There may also be potential spoilers for House of the Dragon and other future shows that may be adapted by Max in the future. So if you're okay with this, then please continue listening. Second, this will not be a definitive episode of everything about the Vale, as there really is a lot of information about all of the notable houses mentioned in the novels, and the additional information written by George R. R. Martin, and collected by various fans, including the contributors of Westeros.org. Throughout this season of the Westerosi Primer, I will be using information gathered from the novel series, Westeros.org, The World of Ice and Fire, and The Lands of Ice and Fire. Check out the full show notes and other links located on this show's website, thewesterosiprimer.com. With that said, let's begin. The Vale of Arryn is located just southeast of the North. As mentioned in the previous episode, historically, there has been rivalry and disputes between the North and the Vale of Arryn because of both conflicts between First Men and Andals, and also the border between the two kingdoms around the Three Sisters. To the west of the Vale is the Riverlands, which we will remember back in season one of Game of Thrones, Catelyn Stark captured Tyrion Lannister while they were in the Riverlands. She took him off to the Eyrie, where her sister Lysa Arryn rules as the regent of the Vale in place of her son Robert Arryn, or Robin in the TV show. To the south are the Crown Lands, previously controlled by House Targaryen and later the Baratheons and then the Lannisters. The Vale is known for being a very mountainous region in Westeros. The population prides itself on being primarily Andal in origin and worshipping the Seven Who Are One, also known as the New Gods. However, there are groups of people in the Vale who claim some First Men ancestry. During the earlier invasion of Westeros by the Andals, they managed to defeat the First Men and took control of the kingdom from a legendary First Men king, only known as the Griffin King. King Ardys Arryn became the first Andal king of Mountain and Vale. It is later generations of Arryns who built their stronghold, the Eyrie, which is famously the castle we see in Game of Thrones, where Lysa rules from and has their moon doors. The Eyrie is built on a mountain called the Giant's Lance. There are actually three castles on the Giant's Lance that act as way castles between the Erie and the bottom of the mountain. These three castles are called Stone, Snow, and Sky. Some of the defeated First Men surrendered to House Aaron's leadership, but some rebelled and refused to surrender. They fled further up into the mountains and later became known as the Mountain Clans. We actually meet some of them when Tyrion left the Vale and managed to convince some of the Hill Tribe clans to follow him for rewards from House Lannister. Eventually, the Aarons lost their crown to House Targaryen. During Aegon's conquest, the king was a young boy named Ronald Aaron, and his mother Shara Aaron was his regent. She and other Vale lords were mustering an army when Queen Visenya arrived on the back of Vhagar. Queen Shara was shocked to see her young son sitting on Visenya's lap. Her young son innocently asked if he could take a ride on the dragon. This made a very clear point that just because you have a mountain fortress, it doesn't protect you from fiery assault from a dragon. They bent the knee and were granted continued lordship over the Vale in Aegon's name. Instead of King of Mountain and Vale, the Aarons became Lord of the Erie, Defender of the Vale, and Warden of the East. Since I've already discussed a bit about House Aaron, I'll mention a few interesting members of this ruling family before I talk about some of the other notable Vale lords. There are a couple of occasions in which Aarons married Targaryens. King Jaehaerys I, who was the old king we saw briefly in the first episode of House of the Dragon, had many children with his sister wife Alysanne. One of them was a princess, Daella. Daella was married to Lord Roderick Aaron as his second wife. Their only child was Emma Aaron, who later marries her cousin, Prince Viserys Targaryen. As we know from House of the Dragon, she had multiple pregnancies, and her only surviving child is Rhaenyra. So yes, some of the Targaryens in later generations have Andal Aaron blood in their veins. This is a very important point I want to mention, because this means during the upcoming war in House of the Dragon, the Lord of the Erie is Jaime Aaron, one of Rhaenyra's cousins. George R. R. Martin hasn't really made clear the exact placement of Jaime in the Aaron family tree. However, it is possible that Lady Jaime's father could have been Queen Emma's half-brother, but we don't truly know. In any event, this means that Lords of the Vale are pretty likely to be one of the Blacks, which are Rhaenyra's faction. A few generations later, Lady Alys Aaron was married to Prince Rhaegal Targaryen, a son of King Daeron II. One interesting fact is that one of her brothers-in-law was King Mykar I, who is the father of the elderly Maester Aemon Targaryen of the Night's Watch. Game of Thrones viewers should, of course, remember the blind elderly Maester who provided guidance to Jon Snow at the Wall. There are naturally many different lords and noble families in the Vale. As I did mention in the previous episode about the North, I'm going to just briefly talk about some of the important and more notable families in the Vale. Again, if you're interested in me doing a more in-depth discussion about any of these noble families in a future season of the podcast, let me know. They aren't mentioned much, but during the reign of King Jaehaerys I, an offshoot of House Aaron went to the main city in the Vale, Gulltown, and started a branch of the family there. They aren't talked about much because they wound up marrying merchant families and expanding on their wealth. Their lack of nobility and pursuit of mercantile interests meant they're not thought much of, especially by the Erie Aarons. House Baelish of the Fingers is a very new house in the Vale and has only existed for two generations, unlike many of the other noble houses of the Vale. Their name spelling and the sigil with a stone head is a reminder of House Baelish's origins in Essos. A sellsword from Braavos was hired by House Corbray. His son was later knighted and used an image of the Titan of Braavos as his sigil. The next generation was Peter Baelish's father, who was given the title of Lord. Suffice it to say, being a minor lord, part of a very new house, and other personal beef Peter Baelish had with the Starks led to some of the actions we all saw in Game of Thrones. House Corbray of Hartshome is an old but poor noble house in the Vale. They are one of the few families that owns a Valyrian steel sword called Lady Forlorn. They show up a number of times in Westerosi history, as there are members of this house who participated in a number of of wars and events, including the Dance of the Dragons. I won't spoil too much about what they do during the dance, but there are some notable things that will possibly happen in the show, so I won't expand on this in case they do get mentioned. Suffice it to say, they are a bigger deal than you'd think as a Game of Thrones watcher. House Wainwood of Iron Oaks is another important house in the Vale. Some notable things to mention about them is that John Arryn's sister Alice was married to Ellis Wainwood. This is an important fact that I will expand further in a bit. The current head of House Wainwood is Lady Anya Wainwood. She is actually part of a group of lords who oppose Peter Baelish, and this character did have an appearance in season 4 of Game of Thrones. House Harding is a knightly house and therefore doesn't have a castle with a special name like most of the other houses I'll be talking about in these episodes. What is important to note is that the only notable character from this house in A Song of Ice and Fire is Harry Harding. Harry is a ward of Lady Anya Wainwood because Harry's mother was a Wainwood. In fact, his mother is the daughter of Ellis Wainwood and Alice Arryn. This would make Harry John Arryn's great nephew. It also means that he's actually Robert/Robin Arryn's heir until Robin marries and has kids of his own. There is actually a subplot in the novels different from the TV show involving Harry. In the novels, Littlefinger has Sansa disguised as his bastard daughter, Elaine Stone. He arranges for Sansa to be betrothed to Harry Harding. It's a fan theory that Baelish is planning to eventually kill off Robert or Robin Arryn, have Harry inherit the Eyrie, and then eventually have Harry killed off so that Sansa would be the puppet ruler of the Vale, just like Lysa was. House Redfort of the Redfort is an old family and one of the notable ones in the Vale that descend from the First Men. So they've existed as a house for thousands of years. There's just a few notable things about this family in Westerosi history. One of Rhaenyra's Queensguard was a Redfort. Lady Jessamine Redfort was a companion and suspected lover of Lady Jane Arryn. Domerick Bolton, Roose Bolton's son, was a squire for House Redfort. After his time with the Redforts, he returned home to the north. He meets his bastard brother and conveniently dies not too long afterwards. House Redfort was actually a house that was angry that Lysa Arryn refused to send help to her nephew Rob during his campaign against the Lannisters. They also were part of the group against Littlefinger. The last houses I'll talk about are House Royce of Runestone and House Royce of the Gates of the Moon. House Royce of Runestone, like the Redforts, are also a First Men house, still ruling in the Vale. In fact, they were once called the Bronze Kings until the Andals arrived in the Vale. House Royce had a Valyrian steel sword called Lamentation that was unfortunately lost during an event that happens during the dance, which I won't discuss due to potential spoilers for House of the Dragon. A few notable Royces existed in Westerosi history. We of course know that Rhea Royce was Daemon Targaryen's first wife. One of Walder Frey's many wives was a Royce. At one point in time, Tywin tried to arrange a marriage for Tyrion to a Royce, but that was of course rejected. The lord during Game of Thrones was Lord Jon Royce, who viewers have seen in the show as the Lord Royce who winds up giving Sansa valuable counsel and support. His son Waymar was actually the arrogant scout leader in the very first scene of episode 1 of Game of Thrones, when Night's Watchmen were out on patrol and they encounter White Walkers. Jon was also a lord who was displeased with Lysa refusing to provide aid to Robb Stark. He's also the leader of the group of Vale lords against Littlefinger. We did see a little bit of this in the TV series, but not quite as pronounced as in the books. The Gates of the Moon is actually a castle located at the base of the Giant's Lance. You would need to pass the castle to reach Stone, Snow, and Sky. A couple of notable things about this Royce family. Maya Stone, King Robert's bastard daughter, serves at the Gates of the Moon. She works as a guide and leads mule trains up the Giant's Lance. Catelyn actually meets her when bringing Tyrion to the Eyrie. The current lord is Nestor Royce, and he served as the Eyrie's steward while Jon Arryn was in King's Landing as Hand of the King. Later, Littlefinger gives Nestor the title and lordship of the Gates of the Moon, therefore creating this new branch of the family. And that just about covers the basics of who's who in the Vale of Arryn. If you're interested in finding out more for yourself about any of these houses and other people and places I didn't discuss in this episode, feel free to go to the full show notes where I will have links. Though be aware, if you do any of this research, there will be spoilers to the novels and some possible material covered in the future seasons of House of the Dragon. Thank you for listening and tune in to the next episode where we travel to a region famous for rough seas, howling winds, and a ruling house that definitely lives by their house words. Ours is the Fury. What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.